welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this Thursday, November 15th, 2012 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, you are subject to a criminal government controlled by foreign banks. Alex Jones breaks down the meaning of America's secession movement from the corporatist nightmare. Plus, Obama's secret executive order to overhaul the internet. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. On the Alex Jones radio show today, he talked a whole lot about secession, so I don't need to, so let's go to those clips.
I can unequivocally tell you that this is going to be the most important radio broadcast, hands down, that I have ever done. Now, we have not been blindsided by the secession movement, but it's almost like a bus that ran me over 10 years ago. It's old news to us, but the new news is that it is now breaking nationwide and worldwide and is a symbol and a indicator of the sleeping giant that is America awakening. And the entire globalist program has been built and designed to block what you are about to see unfold. I am going to make some announcements here today, and I'm going to lay out plans for my deep study of the Constitution that can save this republic if you execute them. Victory is in our grasp. But secession itself is a red herring. I hope you're listening to me. What we really want is a new issuance of the Declaration of Independence signed July 4th, 1776. The purest American values, the purest essence of the United States was secession from a corrupt, distant corporate empire, backed up by military force. We are recaptured by the progeny, by the literal and figurative offspring of those robber barons 235 years ago. We are at the crossroads, and the entire enemy battle plan that we've reverse engineered is designed to suppress states' rights movements because the states created the federal government, and it is not their right, it is not their duty, we the people that make the states. It is an absolute imperative beyond duty. It is survival that we secede from the New World Order that has conquered us through fraud, that we declare the fraud and declare the fraud null and void, and then reconstitute the republic with a new Congress of the several states. The plans were laid by our forebears. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, all chief, all key, all armaments for our protection, foreseeing the crisis we've now entered. The enemy's tools is a dumbed-down population, a drugged population, a selfish, evil, greedy, weak population. And they don't even outnumber us. It's a fraudulent election system. We know that. Now, this is not complex, but this is not dumbed-down radio. This is a blueprint. And if constitutional lawyers pick this up, if Ron Paul can be drafted, if you put the energy in today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, this is the beginning. We've everything else has just been a buildup. This is time for dedication. This is time for commitment and the spiritual decision to sign your John Hancock in your words and your deeds towards the restoration of our republic and putting us back on the course of liberty and justice for all. And what am I going to call for here? I'm going to call for what is in the Declaration of Independence. the founding document of July 4th, 1776. That is what I'm calling for. It is America. It is the birth of America. It is when it all started, and we have the tools. We have the information. We have all of it before us in our hands if we will only take it up from this inspired document. Number one, Ron Paul, in the videos up at InfoWars.com, has said secession is the essence of America and the birth of our republic. It is more American than even George Washington, because he flowed forth from that. It is the fount, the center, the core, the very blood of the republic. It is July 4th. It is the freedom. It is the dignity. It is the absolute center of the universe on this planet for liberty and resistance to tyranny. It is our armor. It is our mind. It is our sword. It is our shield. It is our will. Now, I will expose the trap. The globalists are counterfeiters. They will take secession and they will repackage it as civil war and as racism. And you're already seeing that. You already see them jumping on it. They were ready. And the media, I've literally got probably 60 articles here, CBS News, NBC, you name it, showing Fort Sumter on fire that started the Civil War. Union ships bombarding the fort. And I saw one of the top neocon talk show hosts, I have his quotes here, coming out and saying, do not sign that petition. The government will come round you up. That's like telling John Hancock and Thomas Jefferson, don't sign the Declaration of Independence. Here, you see the Declaration of Independence? Give me a document cam shot, guys. I'm going to sign this. This is what it's all about. Glenn Beck says, are you out of your mind? They'll come round you up. My God, that man is a Benedict Arnold with stuff like that. Or maybe he's just a coward. He's got like 30 security people. I just go out to Bilderberg streets, have 1,000 people around me. And people are like, that's crazy, Jones. Why do you do that? Why do you tell folks where you're going, where you're going to be? Because it's in God's hands. That's why. The tree of liberty has to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And I'm not living in fear. I'm signing my name onto liberty, and I'm in 110%. I'm all in. I'm doubling down. There's no more backing off. There's no more playing games. There's no more half measures. You're either for freedom or you're going to be a slave. Now, let me give you my plan, and I want to start out first with how they're going to counterstrike. You've seen it. I told you for years. John Warner Defense Authorization Act says for insurrection by the states, governors, and legislatures. This is 2007 they were getting ready for this. This is a long-term plan when they were getting rid of Posse Comitatus, getting Brigade Homeland set up, 400,000 troops for domestic operations, NORTHCOM standing up, the drones, all of the massive preparations that were going on and being established and being set up while all of this was going on. They said in the 2007 John Warner Defense Authorization Act, it says, and I read it on air to you, that they are preparing to block the states. They're worried about the governor's council, even though it's most of them are their operatives, because we could take that back over, and that's the logical place to have a new Continental Congress of the states to restore the republic. Not a secession. Recognizing our government's been hijacked. That's the key. That's not words. That's true. They have declared they have conquered us. That's a legal posting in over 200 newspapers I've seen in just the last year. I've shown them. Paul Watson and I wrote the article, Bankers Declare They've Conquered Europe and the U.S. Our first issue of the magazine covered that. Bankers Declare They've Conquered Us. That is a legal posting. These people are lawyers because they leave back doors, escape hatches for themselves. They've got the military set. They've got the military ready. Rick Perry joked and said, we'll secede. They put the military on alert and surrounding states to invade. Good. Throw me in that briar patch. Let's get it on. Let's start it. Let's have you come in and knock some heads and put army on the streets. Let's get it going here. Not physical. Don't Don't fight them when they do this. Let the redcoats occupy like they did for a decade before it really got going. No offensive attacks. Let their evil flow. Continue. They want to start the fight. Let them shoot first. We have the moral high ground. They'll probably stage some false flags to then blame it on us so they can get the moral high ground. Continue to expose their main weapon that we've almost destroyed, false flag. We've false flag, inside job, staged event, provocateur event. It's now in the nomenclature. It's now in the popular culture. Keep running that offense on them. They're going to invoke race war. You've seen it. Just you don't like government-run health care? You're a racist. You don't like world government? You're a racist. You don't like election fraud? You're a racist. You're a racist. You're a racist. It's that division with the illegals and the inner-city folks and the poor people who are victims of the mind control, just like the general public. That will be the globalist weapon system and their constituency. Their paramilitary police and the military are starting to wake up. But still, a lot of them are such authoritarians and drunk on power and drunk on the idea that they're moral and drunk on the brainwashing they've been given, that a lot of them will try to prosecute a war of intimidation against us. They train NORTHCOM for this. They understand this is the remedy in the Constitution. Not some secession where some guy declares themselves the king of Texas. But Texans saying the federal government has been hijacked by foreign globalists that have bragged that they've conquered us. You go into the legislatures with papers, with the examples of the news and the bankers announcing that there's a world government and we've been conquered. Their announcement, we've been conquered. You go in with the Declaration of Independence saying it's our right and duty to throw this off. You call for the state legislature associations, the gubernatorial associations, not the new 10-member FEMA Governor's Council that's the counterfeit over the governors getting together, or the rural affairs under Department of Defense Homeland Security to run the rural areas. This is an emergency reorganization plan by design modeled after the Mao and Lenin and Stalin takeovers of those countries and surrounding areas. We know their attack profile. We know their bombing runs. We know their plan. If the military and the police try to execute the gun confiscations that Obama and the NRA has documented has planned, physical turn-ins of all semi-autos, there will be a civil war when that starts. We will be, people that resist will be called terrorists. And the media is saying, it's secession 2.0, civil war, we're going to fight the gray coats. We're going to fight the, that's already the branding. No. We're not fighting gray coats and blue coats. This is northerner, southerner, westerner, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. If you want freedom, if you want out from under socialism and globalism, then you are 1776. Own it. Become it. Politically, just let them keep engaging us and abusing and stomping all over us. And just document while moving politically to delegitimize them, to expose them. When they brag and post public notices that they've conquered us, we've been conquered. We've been taken over. They're trying to mop up the media. They put the internet kill switch in years ago. Now they've announced it under secret order. They're getting ready the new wars to try to get us to rally around. The economic implosions, all of it. This is going to be one Hades of a fight. We have got to accelerate the states' rights movement, the nullification movement, and we have to control the debate and not let them, which they've been waiting for, phrase it as racist and a hillbilly claiming he's the president of this state or that state. We have to say, no, this is from 1775, 1776, the join or die, and it's the New England, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Maine. You've got the states right here that were the colonies that were being overrun and treated like slaves and checkpoints on the roads. And now what's happened is the globalists have come in. They've come in and they've taken control of the head. And then the head has gone into all the parts and extracted the wealth. You understand? To bring it back to the head so that we've got this giant New World Order head and all these little parts of the states that are actually giant, but the state government itself has been made this little, you know, federal vestigial thing. We have to separate from the hijacked globalist government, and we have to go with the pieces of the states and constitute the new head, and then we join. So we start movements everywhere. If we get one tail to start pulling out and get our message out that it's about restoring the republic and kicking the globalists out, the others will fall into place. It will give other people moral courage in county, city, state government, the federal government. The generals have had courage saying no to all these new wars and saying they won't, you know, start this takeover. We've got to stand with them. The real place is petitions at your state level, going to your state house, getting movements going, getting Ron Paul drafted to have a movement, exploratory committees to try to reconstitute a new Continental Congress with legislative heads, governors, and other patriots that want to come create a master document off of working documents that were being passed around. But let me sign this for everyone. This is in the Congress, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 states of America. They seceded from the corrupt British Empire and created their new government. We're seceding from the New World Order that hijacked and killed the Republic, and we're re-uploading the Republic. See, John Hancock, it was a death warrant, and many people lost their families, lost everything that signed this. I'm going back to July 4, 1776, because the neocons are saying, don't you dare sign these. And I am publicly signing the Declaration of Independence against the New World Order, against the Federal Reserve, against the globalist. And I stand with those in Europe fighting for their sovereignty against the very same crime syndicate.
All right, so you saw the clips there. And with more on this, we have in studio Mr. Alex Jones. How you doing, Alex?
Jakari, good to be here with you. This is such an exciting time because the media is demonizing everyone who is basically calling for secession, even though that's how our country began seceding from the corrupt British Empire. But the globalists had bragged that they've hijacked our federal government. And so then what do you do? Well, you've got to have the states who created the federal government pull out, admit that it's illegitimate,
right,
and really call it like it is. And Ron Paul did that in his farewell speech that you guys have been covering, saying we're being run by global government, by NATO, by these big banks,
right,
who brag they've done it. And so they're framing it like, ooh, a new civil war. No, this isn't about taxes in the North versus the South. It isn't about slavery. It's not about all of those issues that they're trying to superimpose. It's about being told we're going to raise taxes on the middle class and give it to mega banks.
Right.
And then also give it to all the new dependent class, again, as Ron Paul broke that down. And so I got Lou Rockwell on today. I got Edwin Vieira, constitutional lawyer, advisor to Ron Paul. We're going to get Bruce Fine, constitutional lawyer, advisor to Congress, and Ron Paul on the show. But all of them agree that I had on today that, yes, now is the time to point out our government's been taken over. If we don't ever admit that, we'll just keep rearranging chairs on the
Titanic.
Absolutely. But I mean, what's your take on this? I just wanted to come on and restate that the trap is they're going to sell it like it's, you know, hillbillies that claiming they're the president of Oklahoma or Tennessee.
Well, it's you know, like you always say, they're going to try to frame it as some type of racism. If you go along with this, you're a racist, you're an extremist, you're this, you're that. I mean, everybody has a right to this. I mean, that's what we saw the piece earlier with Ron Paul, where he talks about not so much the farewell address, but we've seen the piece of him talking about when Rick Perry was talking about secession. And he says our country was founded on secession, so why couldn't we do it now?
Well, exactly. This is the Declaration of Independence, where it says if the government becomes destructive and dominant and enslaving you and taking your rights, it is your right, it is your duty to throw it off. And humans never get freedom unless they demand it.
Right.
And so it's the same battle every generation in different ways have to demand. Liberty and freedom is not just given. It has to be taken.
Right.
And we've let corruption creep in because we had so much freedom that we began to not appreciate it anymore. So now the corruption's gotten a hold, and it's wanting to fully federalize things. But again, I don't just say it as a figure of speech that we've been conquered. I mean, you saw the article I did a few months ago. It was the first issue of the magazine cover that foreign banks brag that they've conquered America. They
we've
declare
shown
it.
Those clips several times. They say it was on CNBC.
CNBC, Financial Times of London, hundreds of newspapers
right.
say we have been conquered. I've tuned into Bloomberg Radio, which is really a feed of their TV. And I hear them bragging about it. I mean, these guys are that arrogant because depending on what numbers you look at, 3 to 10 times, depending on the entitlement. And yeah, it's a lot. Welfare, all that, $700 billion a year now. But if you count all the real bailouts, Federal Reserve, open window stuff in the last 4 or 5 years, it's over $40 trillion. Speaking of Bloomberg, they even admit that. So we're talking 3 to 1, 10 to 1, some actuaries, 30 to 1 of money that goes to the globalists. And Ron Paul broke that down, too, that they're giving a tiny amount just to make people dependent, to enslave right. them, to domesticate them, so they can consolidate the whole economy. And now they're saying, we want VAT, which is over every level of the economy, and we want carbon tax on everything, or you're not going to get your welfare checks. So they're going to bring the economy into full bankruptcy, admit we're bankrupt, and say, now we've got to have more taxes. So this has got to be done. Those taxes aren't meant to get the economy going. They're meant to further consolidate it. It's Agenda 21. It's a stated blueprint. And we don't have time to wait for Rand Paul to run for president. We don't have time to wait 4 years with some new Republican stooge. We have to move now. And here's my battle plan, breaking it down. We have to begin the debates. We have to move through Campaign for Liberty that has identified the patriots, the constitutionalists, the libertarians at the state level, and has been getting people into the Senate and House. Ron Paul is being drafted. And again, Lou Rockwell, his former chief of staff, good friends with him, totally agreed with this plan. Edwin Vieira said, absolutely, this is the plan. Because it's again, the Declaration of Independence. We're not seceding. The feds have seceded.
Right.
But we're using the secession mode, which is the clearest way to declare the new Declaration of Independence. So we need to get the states together. We need to first get the Council of Governors together, the National Association of Governors. We need to get the National Legislative Association together, or whoever will come from those, to a big meeting run by Ron Paul, to hammer out that we're going to re-upload the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution. And if Washington doesn't stop being dominated by the private Federal Reserve and doesn't stop saying that they're just going to take over the Internet, as Obama signed today, and that they're not going to stop secretly arresting Americans, I mean, this is open tyranny, then we're going to use secession, get the majority of the states, and declare you null and void. That's the Declaration of Independence, that when it becomes destructive of our liberties and our freedoms, it's a right, it's a duty to do it. And so they can call it secession, they can call it civil war. I mean, I've got some of the petitions that 20, 30, 40,000, depending on which one, have signed right here. Maybe we can do a document cam shot on these. But Jakari, and this is just a print off from last night, right. Strip citizens, up over 40,000 on one of these now, strip citizens, strip the citizenship from anyone, everyone, who signed a petition to secede and exile them. Exile them to where? I'm exiled inside the occupied U.S. under the New World Order, under FEMA Region 6. How about you exile me back to America? How about you exile me back to the Republic?
Right.
How about you beam me to that place instead of these hijackers telling us? Lou Rockwell got emails from groups threatening him at lourockwell.com. We showed him today, saying, you better be loyal to this country or you're going to get arrested. Loyal to the country. I'm hearing I'm under world government and a North American union that Bush signed in 2005 with Vicente Fox and Paul Martin. I want the traitors out. I want a clear thing. Hey, you're not going to, because here's the deal. It's not just corrupt boss hogs that have hijacked us so they have power. They want to ruin us, to fundamentally break us so everybody has to basically go on welfare in a nightmare socialist system. This isn't some, European style soft socialism. This is a hard re-education. I mean, this is the military on the streets, TSA, 1.6 billion bullets, arresting people for their speech, censoring people, arresting talk show hosts.
Right.
This is what they're promoting. And they say grant funding for formation of training of loyalist state militias to retake any and all states that may secede. I mean, they are chomping at the bit in here saying, take our citizenship, exile us.
Right.
This is their response. And then Glenn Beck comes out and says, don't you think about this. This is a civil war. This is treason. You don't sign a petition saying, I want out of this. Well, that's a fundamental right in the Declaration of Independence. And they've got a few Republican governors coming out saying, don't you dare be part of this. Don't you dare even have the states go, whoa, we got an out-of-control group. I mean, what if, parenthetically, let's just say for the sake of debate, like Red Dawn, 50,000 Russian troops parachuted in a sneak attack over D.C.
Right.
And just said, we are now in control. We are the central government. Are we all supposed to go, oh, well, we better not secede against the lawful authority. Let's just do what they say. No, it's like, wow, they've hijacked our country. They've taken over. We're going to get the states together to decide how to respond to this.
Right.
I mean, this is how domination works. We have a corporate takeover of America happening by foreign megabanks who brag they've done it, who are bringing in paramilitary force now to suppress us. They're training us to be slaves at the airports, abusing us. They are training us now with checkpoints on the highways. They're announcing that we're going to give you $100,000 fine, 6 years in prison if you wash your car, the feds are announcing. I can show mainstream articles.
No, we showed it yesterday.
But it sounds insane because tyranny is insane. This Agenda 21, while they cross-species engineer, while they feed us deadly GMO, while they dump toxic waste in the ocean and tell us radiation isn't bad and reactors can blow up and it's no big... The environmental movement isn't run by environmentalists. They get to destroy the earth while posing as the good guys and say carbon dioxide and soap suds from our car, 6 years in prison.
And there you go, the 24 hours of BS, as we've christened it here at the InfoWar.
Exactly. That's Al Gore pushing to get carbon taxes that are literally paid to his exchange, Gore and Blood,
right?
No pun intended.
Right.
That's the name of the group in England. It's not Blood and Gore. It's Gore and Blood's the name of the group. And then Obama and the Rothschilds have another big exchange. People can look this up. Again, folks, I'm talking fast because I'm excited. Everything we were warned about with the globalist is coming true. So the bad news is this is real tyranny. These are authoritarians based on a eugenic system. The good news is people are waking up and getting upset. So we've got to make a stand because they intend to carry out this takeover. They intend to stage false flags and blame them on the liberty movement. They intend to start new wars. All of this is now happening, and Obama's the front so that they can create a clash between, well, everybody that's liberal or everybody that's a quote a minority or really the majority, because, you know, now the way the media's done it, voting together. And then even if Republicans or conservatives try to then go vote for a Republican, they're controlled too. It's now reached that crisis point, but they're going to invoke this to get Americans fighting with each other. The globalists want to bankrupt everybody, and we've got to reach out to old, young, liberal, conservative, Catholic, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, black, Hispanic, white. We've got to get this message out. Ignore the propaganda about race. Now it's a new civil war. And say, civil war, we've been conquered. We've got to get that talking point out, which is starting to happen. So this is historical. We've got articles up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPanda.com where we're codifying my basic ideas based on history and the Constitution.
Right.
Constitutional lawyers have agreed with me. It's now time to draft Ron Paul and draft others to get the exploratory things going, to create a focal point to bring this together. Or we can just kiss our freedoms goodbye, because I'm here to tell you something, folks. You can talk about buying more guns and ammo and waiting for a war while they cut your economy off and plan to starve us out and make us dependent. That is not the answer. The answer is offensively info war, expose and discredit the globalists and their UN, world government, corporate fascist takeover, while preparing to defend our families. But we need to take the states, the counties, the cities back. That means you've got to get aggressive. Jakari, I'm ranting here, but do you have any other points you'd like to add?
No, that's pretty much all I could say, Alex. Great points talking about it's your right, it's your duty. The question I did have for you, when you talk about the Declaration of Independence, are you talking about as is? Would you change anything?
We need to have this big debate. I think it's dangerous to fundamentally change it because they can come in and manipulate things. But I think reissue it, state we have an illegitimate federal government, and then have the governors and legislators and others that come to the conclave or a series of meetings, as it did for years before 1776, and kind of hammer things out and then go back to their state legislatures and let them hammer out agreements and then come back together. And just people coming together, just these meetings happening, will terrify the system and let them know we mean business.
Right.
And so it's that process of you're not legitimate. And again, I use this analogy a lot. If you look at 1800, less than 2% in the North, probably even less in the South, of people were what you'd call abolitionist.
Okay.
Just 60 years later, it was the majority in the North and a large portion in the South. It's the same thing about ideas. When you're in the right, you can't be stopped. And so we've already got 20, 30, 40% that understand nullification, understand the checks and balances. The feds are supposed to check the states, the feds. The feds have been taken over. It doesn't exist. We're not talking to a federal government. So there is no check and balance. It's global bankers just enforcing their will down on us. So we have to get this message out, ignore what they're saying and doing, and let people know, hey, they're getting ready to double your power prices. Here they are. They're shutting down the power plants. Hey, they want to bankrupt you to make you dependent. They've doubled the number of people on food stamps in 3.5 years. It's going to double again. And then they're going to say, we're taking everything the middle class has got to destroy you. They don't want you self-sufficient. This is what authoritarians always do. Communist, fascist, authoritarian of every stripe. And so we just get the word out. We get the word out. We delegitimize this system so it falls just like the Soviet Union. Okay? But it's even easier because the Soviet Union was run by a central empire, Russia, but it was still mainly Slavic nations, so it was the same culture.
Right.
This is a banking corporate culture that's slick and propagandistic. But once it's identified, wait, you bankers bragged you conquered us? You run the federal government? NATO commands our military and Congress is told sit down and shut up? That's
exactly.
Illegal. We're going to go as the states as an emergency reorganization against you, or they're going to bankrupt the federal government by design and bring us under international receivership. They're going to fully conquer us just as the euro was set up 12 years ago, really back in the 50s as a economic agreement.
Okay.
But by stealth, by 99, when they officially launched it, it's come out where they brag. We set this up to bankrupt the countries and then have them all sign their sovereignty over to a mega bank. Well, now they're announcing private bank, a world bank, is now going to run Europe. And why is Europe in debt? They tell you it's entitlements. That's a small part of it, but that's how they can blame the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a vampire tricking you to let them in the house. That's the contract. But they put their people in most of that debt, 90% of it on average in Europe or more, about 91%. Whether it's Spain, Portugal, Greece, Ireland, Iceland, who kicked them out, only country to beat them so far, they're the model.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to come in and get the governments to sign on to the bankers' debt. But the bankers made the debt on purpose.
Right.
Because before it was exposed as a fraud, they got to leverage out the world with $1.5 quadrillion. $1,500 trillion. Now they've signed us on to that worldwide. $644 trillion of it, they say, is our debt. Our national debt's $15 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we in debt? Again, you see this fraud? The average person doesn't study finance, so they don't know this. It isn't even in the financial papers. It's in more elite circles. It's at Davos meetings. But now it's more and more understood. Once we know we've been conquered, once we understand the nature of the fraud, that the Federal Reserve is a foreign bank, that's the name of a consortium of six megabanks. It's over. It's game over. They create this giant facade of left, right, you know, all this other garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have us debating, should the federal government have this role? The federal government has been taken over.
Right.
And I know I keep saying that. That's the key.
People can't get that. They don't understand that.
The National Security Act of 47 let the CIA operate, along with 15 other agencies, in total secrecy, running drugs, overthrowing countries. Who was it set up by? Skull and Bones. Who's that? A bunch of banking families with ties to British intelligence. OSS founded the CIA, British intelligence. Not blaming the British people, that system of empire management covertly. British Empire never went away. They just took down their flags, put puppets in. Because if the puppet looks like the locals, they'll put up with them, they found. See, again, they never want you to know you've been occupied. This time they've bragged about it. And so that same model has been used here, and now they're in control of our country. And now they want to fully break us. And we have to say, no, this is a fraud you signed us on to. We're going to have to go through some hell, but we're going to get back on a good financial footing.
Well, Alex, what do people need to do? What's the first step?
The first step, I'm so glad you brought that up, Jakari. They need to contact Ron Paul every way they can and say, hey, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com has put together the videos. They've put together the articles. You know, your top advisors, Alex has had them on. They've agreed you need to be drafted to lead an exploratory committee through Campaign for Liberty to raise money. I mean, if you think Ron Paul raised $30, $40 million in two presidential campaigns, and he said on my show 4 years ago, half his money came from our audience. It was a third of what it is now. You know, I mean, our listeners have probably given him $10 million of that money.
Wow.
I'm not here asking for the money. If Ron Paul develops a plan, educational to go into the states, to call for meetings, to try to organize this from the direction of the Declaration of Independence, pointing out the federal government has been, because that's the high noon to vampires, man. That's the holy water. You go, you are a foreign occupying force, game over. I'm risking my life doing this.
Right.
Because this is the big tamale. This is the big enchilada. And then Ron Paul and others codify a general plan to go out and not just have attorney generals file lawsuits when the feds want to shut down our coal power clean plants, not just sit there and you play patty cake while these corrupt federal courts do this. Hey, you're run by foreign banks. You say you can kill U.S. citizens, disappear us. You say you can spy on us without warrants and turn the internet off. That's tyranny.
Right.
Okay? Mama didn't raise a fool. That's tyranny. We're done. You guys get out of here. Stop trying to blackmail our generals. We know there's foreign governments espionage. Get out. We see you. It's like They Live. Put the sunglasses on. You ever seen They Live?
No.
Oh, man. We got to have a movie night.
I'm missing out. We got to have a movie night.
We got to have a movie night. I mean, They Live, you put the sunglasses on, you see it. And that's what's so crazy when you see it. So we get a real states' rights movement. We don't let the media frame it as, oh, just secession pulling out their own countries. No, no, no. Secession under the Declaration of Independence to reform a new union to restore the republic under the Bill of Rights Constitution. You want to change anything?
Right.
We're pulling out saying, whoops, stop, we're re-uploading America. We're kicking the foreign banks out. And then the states vote to reconstitute it. And then the new Congress is elected, goes in, and the arrests start. And you get jury trials, too. We're going to haul you in with your statements from the CFR, how you said we'll dissolve U.S. sovereignty. Okay, you work with groups through that. You got paid off by foreign banks' contracts. You're convicted of treason. Boom, 40 years in prison. How's that sound to you?
Right.
I mean, you know, you put about 10,000 of these guys in prison, and or you tell them, get out of the country. We're taking your assets like you do to little moms and pops to get banker bailout money. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. You know, the more mid-level people, get out. You're deported. Your foreign agents, get out of the country. Go live at, you know, one of the Rothschild estates. I'm telling you, listen, we're under attack. We're being conquered. This is militarily backed up. And we got to just call it like it is. We'll back them off. The only reason they're doing this is we keep putting up with it. Keep putting up with it. Because the men think it's manly to watch football all day.
Right.
They don't understand this is happening. This is real. And this elite doesn't just want to run your life. They're putting aspartame in all the major children's sugar candies and gum, which kills
labyrinth. Telling you what you can eat. Yeah, Alex, in Chicago, Rahm Emanuel's telling you what you can get out of a vending machine. You know, Michelle Obama's telling you what you can eat, how many calories you can eat in a school lunchroom. It's ridiculous.
But see, that's the thing. People say, well, that's over the top. Classical total authoritarianism. That's the point. They get to a jump point,
right,
where they take you 10 million miles, and as much as you fight back, you only fight back a million. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just jumping. They're going, yeah, we'll just arrest you if we want. Yeah, we're going to shut things off. Yeah, we'll just arrest anybody calls for seceding. Yeah, we're just going to kill you if we want. It's freedom.
Right.
And we're going to give you people some free stuff if you get behind this. I mean, folks, well, this is not hyperbole. We are in deep, deep, deep you-know-what.
Yeah.
I mean, this is make-it-or-break-it time. We either go, whoa, we got too deep into this, we repent. Because I've told people, folks, you better hit your knees and pray to God. If you haven't even believed in God, you better sit there in a dark room and think about where things have gone. Because first it's, well, you can't have this size soft drink. Now it's your parents can't pack your lunch. They can't be trusted. Then they feed you food full of rat droppings.
This is all real stuff that we've reported on. He's not making this up.
They have put all over the country Pentagon-run behavior tracking cameras in the school.
They're putting cameras in trash cans now.
To see what you throw away, because that's going to be the new tyranny, micromanaging everything you do for the earth. Well, it's for the earth.
Oh, yeah.
It's for the earth. I mean, they admit, the Club of Rome said back in the 60s, we're going to use environmentalism to totally take control. And it's going to be an anti-human religion. While they do all these real bad things to the environment. Jakari, everybody out there, we have got to move to checkmate the globalists who've hijacked our federal government and are now dissolving the states. The states have got to wake up. All the minions that have been paid off to be part of the system, they got to just step aside.
Right.
Because there's no future. The elite we have are eugenicists who are spiking the food, the water, the air with poisons, and they say they want to kill us. Once they get their world government in place, and the good news is, now I hear Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck talking about eugenics. Mm-hmm. Now people are getting it. Okay? I mean, the most exciting thing is this broadcast and the people that watch are able now to push things out in the mainstream. And because we are talking about reality, we're not debating within their fake construct.
Right.
You know, they project this big giant system, and then it looks like it's real, and we're supposed to, like it's one of those, you know, video games where it's an alternate reality, and people go actually right. Buy stuff in that false reality.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the television and the culture is becoming that. They're trying to insert us really into a matrix. And we all have to be Neos out there. We all have to be Morpheuses out there to go out and find the Neos and say, look, you know, you're a slave, and you better wake up to it. And we're not offering a utopia like the socialists are. It's a hard road for liberty, but it's long term, totally empowering. And the problem is it creates so much wealth that then you get decadent again.
Yeah.
The problem is freedom is so good it makes you strong. You know, I sat around for 10 years just working on the show and things and gained, you know, 50 pounds. And, you know, now it's hard to get that weight off. Right. But I'm doing it, but I feel so much better. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. We just have to incrementally build our liberty muscles. Jakari, I know you've got more coming up, or is this the end of the show?
No, this is the beginning of the show, actually.
All right, my friend. I mean, there's so much tonight. I see him in there playing clips of me from the show. Yeah. What else you got coming up?
We're going to get into the news, and actually Aaron has an interview coming up, and I do as well, with Ms. Medea Benjamin talking about some drones, hashtag drones. We're going to do that pretty soon, so you guys watch out for that. So any last remarks, Alex?
No, that's just it. I mean, the show's so huge now. Some nights an hour, some nights 3 hours. I mean,
we got to get it. What's we got to get down to an hour so we can start broadcasting?
Yeah, we're going to do that soon. So. But everybody can take these video clips. Every PrisonPlanet.tv membership is now 10. So pay it forward. Get everybody watching. We're reaching millions a week, and it'll soon be tens of millions just via InfoWars Nightly News. Jakari, what is your take on what I was saying today? I mean, is it exciting, or do you?
It is exciting. I mean, just like you were talking about on the radio, how you signed a Declaration of Independence and all this stuff. It's an exciting time. And like you said, people need to take action because people say, Alex, you always talk about this and that, but what can we do? Draft Ron Paul is your suggestion. So contact Ron Paul.
Yes, as a figurehead, but also to help lead it, put on that mantle, and then you go talk to your legislator.
Right.
And we'll do events where we say, all right, everybody, hit your legislature today. Go walk in. Storm it. And that's what the media called it. We just showed up and said, we don't want the TSA here.
Right.
I mean, get aggressive. Get off our back, New World Order. Stop trying to train us that you tell us what to eat, what to do. They're giving kids forced inoculations all over the country without parental consent.
Right.
That's a felony.
Right.
They're just doing it. They're telling the cops, go out and beat people for no reason. Go out and taser them. A lot of cops are going, whoa, I don't want to do this. Right. Everybody in the system, by little decisions you make every day, will make or break this. It is the moral fiber of America that has degenerated. The television sells the most horrible evil on purpose. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have coming up tonight a piece that I know will be controversial. Over 100 years ago, they had the screw tape letters, which is like conversations the devil's having with a demon. And because the devil's greatest trick is convincing the world he doesn't exist. And so I've done a piece where I play both characters, Satan talking to his son, the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is a banker, you know, a globalist.
Right.
And he's talking about how he wants to destroy humanity. Because a lot of these Luciferians think they're going to get all this power out of it, and they're going to live forever, and they're going to become gods. That's not the plan. It's to kill, steal, and destroy. And as Lou Rockwell said today, you know, the state in history gets always taken over by evil. You know, Christ, when he's taken up on the mountain by the devil, says, all these kingdoms I control, all these governments, I can put you in place of them right now.
Right.
That the devil is in control. The power, the prince of the air, God of this world. And people can say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, I've studied the globalists. They do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, these people are Satanists, okay? They are Satanists. I mean, it, lower level, they're Satanists and think they're getting power. Mid-level, they're Luciferians who think, oh, Lucifer's God, and they're going to get all this. But at the very top, they are pit of hell beyond Satanist. Because Satanism is a word. Total death, total destruction. In fact, perhaps we should just go to break here before the next guest with the Satan Speaks. You guys have that loaded in there? We can go to break to it? Fantastic. We've got it. Jakari, take us out.
All right. Well, I'm not sure how I'm going to follow that, but after this break, well, when we go to this break, you'll see the Satan Speaks piece. And then after that, I'll be back doing the news. And then Aaron Dykes will have an interview as well. I will have another one coming up after this. So let's go to the Satan Speaks.
Thank you.
top story, Drudge Linked. Now, you've been talking about the secession movement, and we actually got a Drudge Link talking about this, if we can pull that up, guys, on the screen. So let's take a look right here at this. Okay, we'll scroll down a little bit. And there it is, I think. Okay, radio talk show talks about, and that brings you to the Ron Paul clip here. So definitely appreciate Drudge taking a look at our articles. And that's a great speech. Oh, actually not that one, that in that C-SPAN video, but we'll talk about Ron Paul's latest speech here in 1 second. Let's move on to our next story. GOP governors distance themselves from secession movement. If you guys can pull that up on the screen right there, we'll take a look. If we scroll down, we'll see what governors have to say. We see that Bobby Jindal, a representative of Louisiana, said that he thought secession was silly. Scroll down a little bit more. We see Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam said, I don't think we'll be seceding, and that he doesn't think that it's a valid option for Tennessee. So not all governors are on board with this. And that actually brings us to our next story when we talk about Ron Paul. Ron Paul, secession is a American principle. And we have a video of Ron Paul that we can throw to right now.
Rick Perry, our governor here in Texas, the statements he made about possible secession. Now, he didn't call for secession, but he was restating a principle that was, and that is that there was a right to secession. Because all the states that came into the Union before the Civil War believed they had a right to secede. And it's very American.
And you heard Ron Paul right there talk about what his governor, Rick Perry, said about secession back in 2009. Rick Perry is another one of these governors that doesn't really support secession. So it's really up to you, the people. As you heard us talk about with Alex Jones just a second ago, he said, hey, if you want something to happen, you need to take action. You need to contact Ron Paul, your representatives, and let them know that, hey, if this is something that you want, like, you may not be into it, but if it's something you want, you take the action, you take the initiative. We'll move on to our next story. In his final speech, Ron Paul warns of continuous march towards fascism. Now, this is a great speech that I actually had a chance to watch earlier today. Many people, I believe even Lou Rockwell, said that's one of the greatest speeches of our time, political speeches. So I definitely encourage you guys to do the same. So do we have a clip of that? Okay, let's throw it to the clip right now.
About why those of us who believe in liberty as a solution have done so poorly in convincing others of its benefits. If liberty is what we claim it is, the principle that protects all personal, social, and economic decisions necessary for maximum prosperity and the best chance for peace, it should be an easy sell. Yet history has shown that the masses have been quite receptive to the promises of authoritarians, which are rarely, if ever, fulfilled. Should we have authoritarianism or liberty? If authoritarianism leads to poverty and war and less freedom for all individuals and is controlled by rich special interests, the people should be begging for liberty. See, as they compare it to 1976, when I first came to Congress, the desire for more freedom and less government in 2012 is much greater and growing, especially in grassroots America. Tens of thousands of teenagers and college-age students are, with great enthusiasm, welcoming the message of liberty. We should have more trust in ourselves, less in the government. Too many people have for too long placed too much confidence and trust in government and not enough in themselves. Fortunately, many are now becoming aware of the seriousness of the gross mistakes of the past several decades. The blame is shared by both political parties. Many Americans now are demanding to hear the plain truth of things and want the demagoguing to stop. Without this first step, solutions are impossible. Seeking the truth and finding the answers in liberty and self-reliance promotes the optimism necessary for restoring prosperity. The task is not that difficult if politics doesn't get in the way. Why are sick people who use medical marijuana put in prison? Why does the federal government restrict the drinking of raw milk? Why can't American manufacturers rope and other products from hemp? Why are Americans not allowed to use gold and silver as legal tender as mandated by the Constitution? Why is Germany concerned enough to consider repatriating their gold held by the Fed for her in New York? Is it that the trust in the U.S. and dollar supremacy beginning to wane? Why do our political leaders believe it's necessary to thoroughly audit? Why do our political leaders believe it's unnecessary to thoroughly audit our own gold? Why can't Americans decide which type of light bulbs they can buy? Why is it the TSA permitted to abuse the rights of any American traveling by air? Why should there be mandatory sentences, even up to life, for crimes without victims, as our drug laws require? Why have we allowed the federal government to regulate commodes in our homes? Why is it political suicide for anyone to criticize AIPAC? Why haven't we given up on the drug war, since it's an obvious failure and violates the people's rights? Has nobody noticed that the authorities can't even keep drugs out of the prisons? How can making our entire society a prison solve the problem? Why do we sacrifice so much getting necessarily involved in border disputes and civil strife around the world and ignore the root cause of the most dangerous, deadly border in the world, the one between Mexico and the United States? Why does Congress willingly give up its prerogatives to the executive branch? Why does changing the party in power never change policy? Could it be that the views of both parties are essentially the same?
All right, and a great speech there by Ron Paul. Like I said, I definitely encourage you to check it out. I think the full thing is about 50 minutes long. And I believe on the Sunday show, we will premiere the whole thing. Well, not premiere, but we'll show the whole thing on the Alex Jones radio show on Sunday. So definitely check out that. We'll move on. Failure of cybersecurity bill in Senate paves way for Obama executive order. This by Kurt Nimmo. There is a good chance the president will sign an unconstitutional executive order. Republicans blocked the legislation in August and again on Wednesday, saying it would lead to further business regulation. In a final vote, 51 to 47, short of the 60 votes required under Senate rules to bring up for passage. So this is one of the many things we talk about this often. They're going to keep pushing this internet ID, this internet tax deal. So every time it pops up, just keep fighting it, keep getting the word out about it so people will know what's going on in the real world, because the internet concerns us all. I mean, it's the great new media, you know. So if you like government regulated taxes, it's going to be a big deal. So we'll move on to our next story. Obama's secret directive paves way for continued military cyber offense. In mid-October, President Obama signed off on a secret directive that will enable the U.S. military to use newly created computer viruses to attack any organization or country deemed to be a cyber threat. And if we could hold on for just 1 second, I like what the article points out here. It says not only a country deemed a threat, but also an organization. So, I mean, if you think your organization is all well and good, it may not be to the Obama administration. We'll continue. In the same way, the Bush administration employed terms such as preemptive when considering the invasion of Iraq. The Obama administration has shrouded its cyber policies in language that legally allows the military to go on the offensive in cyberspace. So the new war on terror could very well be in your laptop, in your iPhone, or whatever device you use. So just like the last story, make sure you get this word out and warn the people you know and care about. We'll move on to our last story for the night. Does Al Gore think that he's Captain Planet? I guess when he's not masquerading as the man bear pig, maybe he does. Let's take a look at this article. Great article by Melissa Melton. It basically just goes down and breaks up all the points of Al Gore. You know, guys know he has a new 24 hours of BS, as we deem it here. It's just Al Gore. We don't need to go too much into it beyond that. I mean, a great article by Melissa Melton, but Al Gore is up to his old tricks, saying that he wants to tax you if your dog farts in the backyard, but he builds these big castles on the sea, and his electricity bill for all his palaces at about, what, $30,000 a year. So there you go, Captain Planet. I don't know if he wants to be Captain Planet, but at least probably a Planeteer. And put that last graphic back on screen. I'm going to give Al Gore a free plug right here for his 24 hours. Join Al Gore for another 24 hours of bull. Okay, and we'll leave it right there. Actually, that probably should have been the quote of the day. But we'll go now to our quote of the day, and let's get right into it. No people and no part of a people shall be held against its will in a political association that it does not want. That by Ludwig von Mises, and I'm sure if I mispronounce that, you YouTubers will let me know. So with that, we will go to break, and we'll come back on the other side of this with Aaron Dykes as he interviews Mateus Rojas when they talk about CIA coups in Ecuador. So definitely keep an eye on for that. And also, I hope you guys enjoyed the Alex Jones piece talking about The Devil Speaks. That is the trailer of a larger piece that will premiere. I don't know if it'll be this week, but definitely next week. If not, so keep an eye out for that. So stay tuned for Aaron and also me later on as I interview Medea Benjamin. Stay tuned.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
We are back from break on the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Aaron Dykes. I want to thank Jakari Jackson for that news segment. He'll be back in just a moment, but there's incredible news going on today. You heard Alex on the program. It is linked up at drudgereport.com. Talk host calls for Second American Revolution. And up on InfoWars.com, we are linked to a transcript of Alex's historical comments today. This is about a peaceful revolution to take this country back. The United States was always the states, not the federal government. It was always the people, not some centralized dictatorship, not what it has become. It has become completely tyrannical incrementally over the years, and we have to say no to that. And Alex lays out the battle plan. His comments are up in detail. Everyone must spread this around. We've got to talk about this issue and begin to take back our country again peacefully. Now we're going to transition to some not so peaceful coups that have happened in Latin America, in particular dealing now with the Ecuadorian president Rafael Correa. Now he's leftist. I don't approve of any kind of socialist communist system. We don't want dictatorships propped up by so-called democracy either. So there's so much history there that shows how far we've strayed from the Constitution in this country, in our global reach. And so we turn now to Mateus Rojas. He is out of Chile. You remember him probably from this clip confronting David Rockefeller.
Come back. We don't want your new world order, you know? Leave Chile right now. Leave Chile. You are not... You're killing a lot of people! You're killing a lot of people! Leave here! Leave Chile right now! Leave Chile! Leave Chile! We don't want your world government! Leave Chile right now! Leave Chile, okay? Leave Chile! Your family is the most disgusting in the world, you know? Leave here! Leave! Leave! You also, you're a traitor to Chile! Mr. Agustin Edwards, you're a traitor to Chile, okay? You're a traitor to Chile! What you're doing right now, okay? 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 You know everything. You know everything. You're participating with him. You're participating with him in this. Your world government will fail, okay? Your world government will fail. Will fail. Will fail. You know it. Leave Chile right now. We don't want you here. We don't want your disgusting thing here. Leave Chile now.
And that was the confrontation with David Rockefeller in Chile. Joining me now is Matias Rojas. His website is verdadahora.cl. His YouTube channel is NW Noticias, and he has been involved in lots of activism down there in Chile with a worldwide resounding. Thanks for joining us, Matias.
How are you, Aaron? I'm pleased to be reporting for InfoWars.
And we appreciate you joining us. Now, last week you put out the article. You had worked with journalists down there in Chile who have tentacles all across Latin America. CIA allegedly using drug money to overthrow the Ecuadorian president, Rafael Correa. And why don't you just tell us about some of those findings?
Well, this started because of an investigation that was carried out by a former inspector in the Policía de Investigaciones, the PDI, the equivalent to the FBI in Chile. He was an inspector in the PDI. He discovered that 300 kilos of cocaine were being entered monthly to Chile, from Argentina to Chile, and that members of his own institution were over there escorting the cocaine together with the police, the Carabineros, and the Chilean army. So he went to La Moneda, the main government building, with the whole investigation that he had carried out, he was doing. He met with then-Minister of Interior, Rodrigo Hinspeter. He handed over this carpet with the information to Hinspeter, and Hinspeter said, well, in 4 days I will have everything solved. But after that, nothing happened. The Piñera government didn't went along with any investigation at all, and this was all covered up by the media. Hinspeter himself told Fernando Ulloa, this inspector from the Policía de Investigaciones, Hinspeter told him that he cannot, you know, say anything to the media. So once that a year happened after that, a year in 2012, in August of 2012, this PDI inspector blew the whistle on this. He talked to the press. He talked to an independent media outlet called Panorama News, and he said that Hinspeter was covering up a huge, huge drug smuggling operation. Now, let's jump to November of 2012, right. October of 2012. What happened was that Panorama News received information from an intelligence source from the Agencia Nacional de Inteligencia, the national intelligence agency here in Chile, an anonymous source, who told Patricio Meribel, the director of Panorama News, that this drug smuggling operation was indeed a CIA/DEA operation that had years and years in Chile. And those funds were going to be used to destabilize the government of Ecuador, the government of Rafael Correa in the coming elections of 2013. This correlates with the Iran-Contra because this is the same system that CIA uses with illicit drug money to fund their different cover operations. So in October as well, a former diplomat of the UK called Craig Murray also said that the CIA and the Pentagon would use a black money to black funds to fund, you know, to bribe and to pay to certain journalists in Ecuador to invent certain stories in the press, to bribe officials, and that way to destabilize the government of Ecuador. So,
I just want to recap this briefly because a lot of people here in the United States and the other parts of the Western world may not follow all these names and some of the details, but it's very much par for the course anywhere in Latin America where the CIA has totally infiltrated over the last 30, 40, 50 years. They've been very much connected to the drug trafficking, as we saw in Iran-Contra. That eventually all came out, and it's part of the larger geopolitical plays there. But all these pieces are linked in your article. It's an excellent one up at InfoWars. I'll give people that headline one more time so they can find it. CIA allegedly using drug money to overthrow Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa. And this really hasn't been picked up in the media down there or in the United States. It's only been covered in the alternative news. However, the key pieces that you point out did show up on news networks. Newspapers have covered some of the more detailed aspects of the drug investigations, and that's all up on your article. And it is in Spanish, but there's a translation widget, part of modern technology. Everyone can go click English or even choose other languages and watch those press briefings, which include the Chilean president himself, right?
The Ecuadorian president who spoke about this on public television, he right. reaffirmed the information that came out from Chilean independent outlet Panorama News, and there is also a thing here because there's a complete media blackout in Chile. In Chile, you have to understand that we have two different blocks in the press. We have El Mercurio, run by Agustin Edwards, a former CIA operative from 1973 coup against Salvador Allende. He was a big player on that, altogether with David Rockefeller, and you saw it in the video. He was there with David Rockefeller in the airport. They are close friends, and when you speak about
their families, have been close friends, isn't that right? They were involved. They were all involved in setting up world government bodies.
So they are also involved with the raw tech and all of it. But the thing is that here when you talk about operations in Latin America, you have to go back to Operation 40. The same team was involved in the Kennedy assassination, in the Watergate scandal, in the Iran-Contra. This Operation 40 was an operation, a black operation, you might say, of the CIA to overthrow different countries, different governments all over the world. And here in 1973, it was, you know, the Chile was choosing, you know, to be overthrown. We here in Chile, as I said, we have two blocks in the press. So they are covering up this the best they can. But this investigation comes from the permanent link between the Chilean army and the CIA. This is not the first time that the Chilean army or Chilean authorities have been linked to the CIA with drug smuggling operations. We have to remember that in 1985, a drug dealer called Ivan Barandica came to Chile. He was a former Marine. He was a former CIA cooperator. He worked with the CIA in Nicaragua to smuggle guns, you know, arms to the Contras. He came to Chile and he advised the Chilean military junta of Augusto Pinochet for drug dealing. This was all, you know, exposed by some journalists such as Francisco Martorell and others. And in one video that this guy, Ivan Marandica, when he blew the whistle on this CIA/Chilean operation, he started talking and he started to give names. For instance, he gave the name of the son of Pinochet, who was involved in that. He was Marco Antonio Pinochet. He also gave the name of a Chilean businessman of Syrian origin called Edgardo Batich Villarroel, who was also involved in this cocaine smuggling operations with the help of the CIA, or with the help at least of one of the former collaborators of the CIA, Ivan Barandica. Batich was also the cousin of Monser Alcazar, this famous arms smuggler with links also to the BCCI bank scandal. But currently the investigation that was carried out here in Chile by Patricio Meri, the independent Chilean journalist, he found out that there are two deaths linked to this scandal. One of the deaths being a soldier called Fabian Vega, murdered in June of 2005. Inside his military site in Calama, a northern city of Chile. He was hanged first. It was ruled as a suicide, but apparently he knew about this drug operations where the Chilean army was also participating. There is another dead linked to this scandal. His name is Néstor Madariaga Juantoc. He disappeared on March 21st of 2006. He was found with two bullets in his head. He supposedly committed suicide, but it's practically impossible that a person can commit a suicide with two bullets in his head, you know. He was found in Valparaiso, and according to the research that is being done by Patricio Meri, this journalist that broke the news here in Chile, he was used by the Police of Investigations, the PDI, and the Chilean Navy to transport a lot of tons of cocaine from Santiago to Valparaíso, part of the CIA / DEA drug smuggling operations. So this is huge, and it's being really silenced here
in Chile. It's huge, and for people out there who don't know about this issue overall, Matias is laying out detailed history. Why does it tie to Chile? Well, it ties to the entire Latin American region, and this is part of the overall history, hundreds of years of colonialism. Starting in the last century, the latter parts of the 1800s, the U.S. really began to exploit the idea of exporting democracy so that they could corporatize and collect on all the resources in Latin America. And that's why you see hundreds and hundreds of coups, destabilizations, fomented rebellions, dictatorships on the right, really leftist communist-leaning people on the left, and they use the excuse of communism. Later, they use the excuse of the drug war to get the CIA down there, to get U.S. troops involved, to back regimes that they want. And it's a very detailed history, but just in 30 or 40 years, in the time after World War II, you saw almost every Latin American nation have either a coup, a rebellion, something like that, a civil war. I've got a list just of the successful coups, not even including the attempted ones. There's a lot of important history not on this list. You've got Argentina with 6 coups in the 20th century, Bolivia with 14 coups, Brazil with 5 coups, Chile with 2 coups, Colombia had 1, Costa Rica had 3, Cuba had 2, the Dominican Republic had 3, Ecuador had 5, El Salvador had 4, Guatemala 2, Haiti 25 total, 15 just in the 20th century. Honduras had about 6, Nicaragua 2, Panama, Paraguay each with 1, Peru had 6, Uruguay had 2, and Venezuela had 1 successful coup. And again, that doesn't even include all sorts of other actions. For instance, in 1954, the United Fruit Company teamed up with the CIA. You had people like Alan Dulles on the board of United Fruit, also running the CIA, and they ousted Arbenz. It wasn't technically a coup, but they got the military to stand down and stop backing him. They ran propaganda operations to get him out of power, and then they turned around and threw the next guy out of power, too. And that's the kind of trend you see. And so this is a very detailed history. Now, getting back to Ecuador, under the leftist president, Rafael Correa, we have this whole history where Hugo Chavez pops up, where Evo Morales pops up, other leftist presidents in Latin America, and they're looking for ways to credibly destabilize it because, for one thing, the Chile coup that happened in 1973 caused a lot of blowback for U.S. interest, and they're looking for other ways. That's why your article deals with how the CIA wants to use their drug money just to oppose him in the press. Well, that's step one. If that doesn't work, they're going to take other means. And I've got just a few headlines on Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa from the mainstream media in the past several years. You got 2008, Ecuador says CIA infiltrated its military. Also in 2008 in December in Bloomberg, you've got Ecuadorian president tells banksters to take a hike. He said he was not going to pay his installment on the interest over some of those loans that really
he
made
also,
them mad.
He also closed a military base over there in Manta in Ecuador.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. And tell us more about that because I don't know the whole history. I've just grabbed some of the headlines I could find.
The Ecuadorian president, Rafael Correa, is really a president that is for sovereignty, that is against the military, you know, imperialism of the United States. And, he tells it all. I mean, when he took this accusation of drug smuggling, you know, to fund, to destabilize Ecuador, the Ecuadorian government, he connected it to the Iran-Contra. He spoke about Oliver North. And, this thing that I mentioned about a former CIA operative collaborating with the military junta of Pinochet back in the 80s, Ivan Barandica. This is also this is one part of it because Chile also took part of the Iran-Contra effort. For instance, we have the negotiations between Oliver North and Pinochet to sell some rockets to the Contras, and some arms were also being smuggled to other countries from Chile. And according to Barandica, in the 80s, for instance, many of the arms that were being smuggled from Chile to other countries were also loaded with drugs. These planes were also loaded with drugs. So it was like on weapons slash drug operation being run by the secret police of Pinochet. Pinochet also used drugs to fund the different operations, black operations of the DINA, of the secret police of Pinochet, with drug money. For instance, the murder of Orlando Letelier, the former chancellor of Allende, who died in Washington after a terrorist attack carried out by Michael Townley, a former operative of the DINA and also CIA-linked man. We have a history of killings. We have a history of really horrendous actions by the CIA in Latin America. And I think this is just one, like the tip of the iceberg. We have had cases, for instance, a former DEA agent called Michael Levin, also blew the whistle on how the CIA, was running like General Motors of cocaine worldwide. For other case, for instance, Terry Reed, a former CIA agent, in Nicaragua who helped, the Contras, who was contracted by Barry Seal, a drug dealer who was working for the CIA. We have all of these names, all these people that have been speaking about this issue, and I don't know how it doesn't get to the press here in Chile.
Well, it's just one of those understated things. Everyone who has studied the issue understands this is the way the New World Order works. You've been an activist against the New World Order. We're studying it and covering it here, of course. But you've got all these big banks. People like David Rockefeller bragged in his memoir, I believe it was during the 70s, the quote that's referred to in his memoir, that he had in his Rolodex every major Latin American leader. That means presidents, prime ministers, bankers, different heads of military. He knew and basically ran Latin America. They joke about that also in the Rockefeller documentary. And now today in the modern day, you see some of these big banks getting in a little bit of trouble, having to pay out fines for admittedly laundering money for drug cartels, for terrorist networks, for, quote, rogue states. That's going on right now with HSBC. You saw Wells Fargo and Wachovia also in the news admittedly laundering just trillions of dollars, hundreds of billions as the case may be, per bank, all on Wall Street. You had people like the head of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Gross, was that his name, who went down to the FARC rebels in 1999 and invited them to come launder their money. That's written up in the New York Times. You can look up that issue. And there's so much more. It's a complex issue, but it's understood. It's known. That's how these banks do business. They're part and parcel with the CIA apparatus.
Like the news that came out about the U.S. Border Patrol selling weapons to the cartel, the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico recently.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm referring to. Now, on the case of Chile, again, there was the coup in 1973 with Allende, and Kissinger actually was indicted for that 25 years after the anniversary of that coup. I don't know if you know about that, but just by coincidence, it was on September 11th, 2001. He was indicted, I want to say, in France or somewhere else in Europe.
Yes, I remember that in Switzerland when the Bilderberg group was meeting, some activists went to the meeting and carried this warrant for Kissinger for his crimes in Chile. Kissinger, for instance, was a big player in the Operación Condor, the Operation Condor, where all the secret police of all Latin America coordinated against, insurgency, against anarchists, against communists, against people, well-meaning people from the left that were part of this progressive regimes that were removed by the CIA. So there's a whole history, as I said, of horrendous blood and murder in Latin America because of the CIA. And this drug smuggling operation that just being exposed here in Chile is not the first one of the CIA.
I would just say we're trying to expose the people who wish to create order out of chaos. It's about bringing these nations under submission. I think communism, at least the way it played out in Latin America, the way it played out in Africa, parts of Asia, was really an excuse just to wreck almost every nation and just recombine them until you have the right configuration that's subservient enough. And plus you get an excuse for these smaller skirmishes, different types of CIA operations. I want to read this quote from 1929. It was shortly after the U.S. Military Academy established a National Guard in Nicaragua, and you had Undersecretary of State Robert Olds from the U.S. who said, quote, "There's no room for any outside influence other than ours in this region. We could not tolerate such a thing without incurring grave risks. Until now, Central America has always understood that governments which we recognize and support stay in power, while those which we do not recognize and support fall." And now Nicaragua, he says, has become a test case. And we saw that play out over and over and over again throughout the 20th century.
Of course. And the CIA is doing the same things now in Syria, for instance, funding the rebels. And you have to ask yourself, where is all the money coming from to buy all of those weapons? You know.
Yep. And people can look into it. Gary Webb did his case study in Dark Alliance concerning just one sliver of the Iran-Contra scandal, where he linked the Hondurans who were involved in that triangle between Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Honduras, the smuggling of drugs. They shipped in the crack cocaine to the L.A. neighborhoods, got the gangs to distribute them, you know, really did a lot of damage to the black community here in the United States while they were using the DEA itself. You had a lot of these drug dealers who were part of the power apparatus in Honduras having official positions, even though they were convicted drug dealers and actively being pursued by the, quote, justice system in this country. And it was all just the CIA scam to hide them within their own system.
Many people have died researching that. For instance, Gary Webb died in 2004, I think. Many people said that maybe it was really murdered and not... I don't remember exactly.
Well, certainly, they call it a suicide, but it's very suspicious.
Yes. Just like the suicide of Danny Casolaro and so many others. Danny Casolaro, for instance, was researching the BCCA bank scandal and the October surprise, how it tied into the Iran-Contra scandal. Here in Chile, we also had the death of a British journalist by the name of Jonathan Moyle, who supposedly committed suicide during a convention, an Air Force convention in Chile in the 1990s. But during the investigation, many things came up. For instance, that one of the people who were involved in this drug smuggling and arms smuggling from the Chilean army, Gerardo Hoover, a colonel of Pinochet, who then also committed suicide, supposedly. He tried to contact Jonathan Moyle unsuccessfully until Jonathan Moyle, of course, committed suicide, supposedly. But we have very, very dark things happening here, things that that don't have any answer from justice, that are just ruled as suicides, just as the two names that I gave you from 2006 with the soldier Fabian Vega, and in 2007,
List. Tell us one more time where your website and your YouTube channels are and some of the activism you're going to be working on in the coming future.
Well, my website is verdadahora.cl. We try to make to see, you know, this globalism from Latin America. Many of the things that are happening here in Chile are not covered in independent media outlets like yourself, you know, like InfoWars. So we are trying to translate many of the information that comes from other countries. We also try to write many of the things, articles about how the CIA, how different corporations have done dirty things here in Chile and Latin America, and we try to wake people up from an independent press, and we have used the social networks to do that. I think that the internet is a great tool in this new century to wake people up, not just, you know, to be there in your room reading the news in from your computer, but that that brings you to go to the street and to protest. And we have seen, for instance, in 2011, many of the student protests in Chile that raised many of the issues, such as the constitution that Pinochet gave us, that many people want to change here in Chile because that is a constitution that was written in a dictatorship, and many people want to change it, and many people are waking up also to the political system here in Chile that is both controlled by the same economic interests.
Certainly, and the internet is a powerful tool for that. It's time to get active. We need resistance around the world, and we appreciate what you're trying to do down in Chile. We need people all over the world doing this kind of stuff, and thank you for joining us, and people can check out your channel for other parts of your activism, but that is the way to do it. The Rockefeller clip is classic, but there's other good work as well, and we thank you for this article because it really received no attention at all, barely even in the alternative press. So thank you, Matias Rojas. And we are going now to break, but we'll be back in just a moment. Jakari Jackson is going to speak with Madia Benjamin of Code Pink. They've been protesting the illegal Pakistani and drone wars, Obama's entire drone operation. That is coming up. Thanks for watching the InfoWars Nightly News.
Insider billionaire investors like George Soros and John Paulson have recently made massive moves into gold, purchasing what Bloomberg News described as gold hoards. Soros alone doubled his holdings in a single day. Russia's Vladimir Putin has doubled down on gold, increasing the country's holdings by over 100%. With $1.8 trillion under management, the bond king, Bill Gross, the world's preeminent bond fund manager at PIMCO, has warned investors of the dangers of QE3 and inflation. And what's he betting on? You guessed it, gold. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Madia Benjamin. She's an advocate for social justice. In 2000, she was a Green Party candidate for California Senate, and her latest book is titled Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control. She joins us now via Skype. Thanks for joining us, Madia.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, now, Madia, we talked briefly off camera about your trip to Pakistan. Can you tell us what that was all about?
There was a group of us in the U.S. that thought it would be good to go to Pakistan and learn more about the effects of our drones and show people there that we were opposed to them. We found out that the cricket player turned politician Imran Khan was doing a caravan up to the tribal areas, so we decided to time our trip at the same time and go with him to the to Waziristan, where the drones have been killing so many people.
Okay. Now, you definitely hit the nail on the head. I guess I should have introed a little better. We're here to talk about drones today, and you being such a strong advocate recently here at InfoWars. Well, we always talk about drones, but recently in particular, there's been a video game release called Black Ops 2, which heavily features drones. And we had a chance to actually go out to the premiere of that, and we had a chance to ask the gamers, you know, what they thought about drones, because we actually published an article a few weeks ago. And, guys, if we can get this on a document cam, it talks about how during the presidential debates, there was a poll taken of Xbox gamers, and 72% of those polled said that they support more drone use foreignly. So we went out and asked the gamers at the release if they would support domestic drones, and we were, you know, relieved to find out that most of them who played the game weren't so much into violence and drone use here or there. They just really liked the zombies in the game. So that, it was refreshing to see. But when you talk to people, what do you feel, what's your gauge for people here in the U.S. about foreign and domestic drones?
I think a public opinion is changing rapidly. In February, there was a poll done that showed that an overwhelming number, 83% of the American public, was in favor of using drones against terrorist suspects. And even a majority, 79%, were in favor of using them against Americans overseas who were suspected of being terrorists. A later poll found the numbers to be about 62%. But I would say that they are rapidly declining as more and more people start to understand how these drones are killing a lot of innocent people, but probably more convincingly for Americans is that they aren't making us safer. The same poll that looked at opinions overseas at 20 different countries found the vast majority of people around the world are opposed to the use of these drones. So we just got to bring the American people in line with world opinion.
Right. Now, speaking of Pakistan, we touched on that earlier. I saw a poll that said about 80% of the people killed in Pakistan were non-militants. Have you found similar numbers?
It's really problematic to even use the term militant because, according to the U.S. administration, a militant is merely any male of military age that lives in the zones where we're using the drones. So it really doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
I think it's more important to say that the U.S. can only name 2% of the people that they've killed as having been on a high-value target list. And then it's also important to talk about how these drones are terrorizing entire populations in the northern part of Pakistan, where people are living under the constant threat of these drones that are buzzing overhead. They never know what if they're going to be hit, when they might be hit, who might be hit. And that is a way of fighting the, quote, war on terror by using terror.
That's exactly right. And you actually... You beat me to the punch. I was going to get to the, actually, guys, I don't have this. If you could pull it up, it's the Russia Today article where Obama said, if you're basically what you said, Medea, if you're a male of military age and you happen to be around when these drones strike, you're considered a militant. Or I guess we use the term enemy combatant threat, whatever you want to use. So pretty much if they hit me, you know, if I go over there for a goodwill trip or whatever, then I'm male military age. I'm considered an enemy combatant. I'm going to be in the statistics of enemy combatants, and we asked the gamers that as well. And then we asked the gamers, you know, when the drones, well, not when, they are flying drones here, U.S.-Mexico border, U.S.-Canada border. We even have reports of there's the article on screen. I know you can't see it, Medea, but Obama kill list, all males near drone strikes are terrorists. And we talked to the gamers about how relatively small law enforcement agencies have been able to acquire drones for various purposes. We have little small, small drones, I guess we'll call them. And we also have reports of how in, I believe it's California, police officers called in a drone to rustle some cattle rustlers. Actually, yeah, I have the article right here, guys, if you can put that on a document cam. So what do you feel about police using drones here domestically?
I think it's a very, very dangerous slope that we're on. It's really the drone lobby that is pushing for an opening up of our airspace, even though drones at this point are very unsafe. Many, many of them crash, and they can lead to a terrible invasion of our privacy. They have the capacity to turn this into a 24/7 security state. And I think many people of various political persuasions would agree that there's already too much surveillance here in the United States.
So do you think that drones being in public hands could be a good thing as opposed to the big governments, as if to say, if the government can spy on us using drones, the public can spy on them?
Well, I don't think that's a particularly good way to go. I think that drones can be used for good purposes, like fighting forest fires or finding illegal loggers or tracing the paths of endangered species or any number of things, and even a number of commercial uses. But I don't think that we want more spying going on in this country, and I certainly think we should focus on the use of lethal drones overseas because it's creating millions and millions of enemies, and it's guaranteeing perpetual war.
Right. And one of the things people think about using drones. They say, well, if we don't have boots on the ground, our soldiers are safe. And which I guess if you're sitting in an air-conditioned room 1,000 miles away, that may be true. But we also have another article here. It talks about the reports of drone pilots, how they're getting burned out. They're being, I guess, fatigued by this drone use.
Well, yes, and there's also a question of can drone pilots compartmentalize their lives into killing it day and then go home and being good family members, and we find lots of PTSD among drone pilots as well. But there is this larger question of are the drones making us safer here at home? And I would say that the drones are actually creating more enemies. They're the best recruiting tool that Al-Qaeda and the Taliban have, and that you can see that where we are using drones, either we are helping to get new recruits for extremist groups, or we're just helping them to move from one part of a country to another part of a country, or one country to another, like moving from Afghanistan to Pakistan, Pakistan to Yemen, now Yemen to North Africa.
So what would you think would be a better military strategy than using drones? Would you just say just not go into these countries altogether, or do you have some other strategy?
Well, I think if the U.S. troops were out of Afghanistan, we wouldn't have Taliban, Al-Qaeda in Pakistan trying to get back into Afghanistan to kill U.S. soldiers, so that would help quite a lot. I think we also have to look at the other ways of using diplomacy, of meeting with tribal elders, to find ways to encourage people not to join up with extremist groups. And then there's an issue of poverty that is plaguing many of these countries, particularly Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, and lack of education. So I think if we put our funds into helping people get an education, and particularly I'd add a girl's education, we'd be doing a lot more to improve the futures of those countries than we would be with the drones.
Okay, Medea, can you tell us a little bit about your organization, the Code Pink organization, what you guys do, and your views on drones?
We started right after 9/11, thinking that the U.S. invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan were not ways to deal with the 9/11 attack. Ever since then, we have been trying to stop the wars, the invasions, the occupations, and to turn our foreign policy around to be supporting reinvesting here in America. We think the Pentagon budget is way too bloated, with over 800 U.S. military bases overseas, continued production of Cold War weapons that we don't need more, $2 billion a week on a war in Afghanistan we shouldn't be in. And so we'd like to see dramatic cuts in the Pentagon budget.
Right. Okay, now, as far as your organization, do you guys have any new events or activism plan? How can somebody get in contact with your organization?
We have two websites that we'd encourage people to look at. One is called CodePink.org, and the other is DroneswWatch.org. We are organizing now around the country to try to get people to turn their opinion against the drones, to look into their own communities, pass local resolutions against their police stations having drones, and work with us on future trips that we have. So they can contact us through the Drones Watch website or CodePink.org.
All right. And in closing, can you tell us about your latest book, Drone Warfare?
Yes, this is a book that really lays out 101 what the drones are all about, who's producing them, who's using them, where they're being used, what's happening to the pilots, who are the victims, what are the legal issues, the moral and ethical issues, and most important, the last two chapters are dedicated to what can people do about it. So we give a wide array of opposition that people are doing, from protesting outside of the Air Force bases where the drones are being piloted, protesting outside the manufacturers' bases, pressuring Congress, working on the international level to try to get some international regulations for the use of these weapons. So there's all kinds of things that people can do, and you can learn about it by reading the book.
All right, Medea Benjamin, we thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, thank you. All right, and there she goes, Miss Medea Benjamin. And if you are interested in drones, you'd like to know more about them, we are actually doing hashtag drone mob. If you have a little mini drone or spy plane, we're getting the one from Black Ops 2. Come out with us. We haven't set a firm date yet, but definitely keep an eye on that hashtag. It'll probably be after Thanksgiving, so you guys can go out and buy your drones on Black Friday or whatever it is that you do. But anyway, if you like this broadcast and you'd like to see more, go to PrisonPlanet.tv. Check the stuff out. You get a 15-day free trial. It supports our broadcast. It helps us get more guests like Madea, Gerald Celente, who you guys love. So you get a 15-day free trial. Check it out and share it with a friend. I believe Alex has bumped it up to 10 people. Is it 10 people that can use one account? Okay, so it's 10 people now that can use one account. So you get... You get 10 accounts for one price. So definitely look into that. And also stop by the InfoWars shop. Check out the magazine. The November issue has zombies on it. We met a lot of people when we went out to the Black Ops premiere who loved zombies. We didn't have a single magazine with us, of course, is how things go. But it's a lot of great stuff in there. Check it out. It supports the broadcast. So that's the end of our show. I want to say thank you to the great crew, to Alex Jones, Aaron Dykes, all of our great guests. And especially to you, the viewers, and we'll see you back next time.